The truth is actually words do inspire. Words do help people get involved. Words do help members.
Today, I'll be interviewing Leon, who is currently completing his bachelor's degree in political science at the University of Vienna. Leon has a strong interest in politics, the government, and armed forces. After completing his bachelor's degree, he plans on joining the armed forces. Welcome, Leon. Thank you for joining us today. Leon, in terms of international relations and affairs, what would you say are the top three current major issues and concerns in the world?
Well, I think number one would be ISIS. I think that the rise of ISIS has destabilized the region. It has caused the refugee crisis that we see right now. It has also been a major concern, I think, for every superpower in the world, except for maybe China. We now see Russia being active in the region as well. The United States has to be active. It simply cannot stand by at this point. And we should, of course, not forget that should ISIS be able to secure the state of itself, then it would surely become a hotbed for terrorist activity and a haven for anyone who hates the West. And this is, I think, a big security threat to NATO, but also the international community as a whole, because ISIS is definitely out for war. It is not just in a small state. It's not something that we can ignore in the long run.
Leon, what is the long-term strategy to tackle the migrant issue, and how can Canada and the U.S. contribute?
Well, I think the long-term strategy of the migrant crisis is that we have to look at the source, which is for ISIS in Syria and Iraq. That's what's causing all these people to flee. They're fleeing ISIS, a genocidal ideology. The Islamists, whether they're ISIS, whether it's the Ayatollahs in Iran, they're fleeing that conflict. And if we really want to not only help these people, but provide humanitarian aid, as well as fight the source of all this catastrophe, then we cannot get around fighting ISIS and Islamic terrorism in the region. And in terms of Canada and the U.S. and their contribution, I think it would be wise of both the Canadian and American government to invest heavily into both humanitarian aid, but also into possibly forming a military alliance, I think the way that already David Cameron has proposed, in order to fight the Islamists in the area, secure the region, and essentially provide the people there with the humanitarian aid, the supplies and relief that they need.
As a German, what is Germany's role in the crisis involving Ukraine?
Well, I think Germany has so far definitely played a huge role, an important role as well. The position of the German government so far has been as a kind of mediator between the United States and Russia. I think the catchphrase of the German foreign policy regarding Ukraine has so far always been that peace is only possible with Russia. And so at this point, the efforts by the German government have been to avoid a conflict, have been definitely also to avoid, to essentially isolate Russia to a point where there are no diplomatic possibilities of resolving the issue. I think in this regard, Germany has definitely played a leading role, and when you look at the European Union, I think there is no country with the strong connections to the Russian Federation that Germany has. But I think also Germany has made clear that Putin should not overstep his boundaries and that the sovereignty of the Ukraine should always be respected.
How do you see Germany's role in the European Union?
Well, I see Germany definitely as in a leading role in the European Union. So far, we are the strongest economic power within the Union. We are also the most populous nation within the European Union. And we have played so far a leading role because we've really had no other choice at this point. The euro is key for our economy, and so stabilizing the currency, as well as in retrospect also stabilizing the European Union itself has always been a key issue of German politics when it comes to the European Union. All major German parties have a strong commitment to the European Union, and so I see Germany's role in the European Union really as a key role that cannot be compared to the role that many other great European nations play so far. And I think so far, although it has not been easy given the, both the migrant crisis now, the economic crisis overall and the situation in Greece, but also Ukraine, have really, I think, put a heavy burden on the German government. But I think so far Germany has been able to handle the situation, I think, to the best of its abilities.
How has Germany contributed to NATO?
Well, I think post-World War II, Germany has really found its way back into the international community and back into the role of peacekeeping among all the other allied nations and NATO members. We've been obviously active in the Kosovo and Afghanistan with forces of our own, and there our soldiers really proved that Germany can play a vital role in peacekeeping, but also in rebuilding and security. And so I see Germany's contribution to NATO in a very positive light so far. I see that Germany has really always been true to NATO, and we've always appreciated the fact that Germany and was led into NATO and was allowed back into the international community. And I see Germany's future role in NATO definitely in a more leading role, because Germany is a very, certainly a very strong nation. It is definitely, I think, NATO's most reliable member in Central Europe so far. I think that Germany will still have a lot to contribute to NATO in the future. And, so I look forward to a longer membership.
In terms of the work that Germany has done, what can other countries in Europe learn from Germany?
I think what other countries can learn is that you have to stay true to your word. When you are part of a organization like NATO, you have to be true to the treaty. And I think Germany so far has made major contributions, especially in Afghanistan. We see that although the war in Afghanistan itself was not very popular with the German public, we still honored the agreement and send our forces there to assist in the NATO mission, and we've done so successfully, and I think the German army has proven definitely that it is capable of a strong peacekeeping force. And I think this is something that possibly other European members of NATO or European countries willing to join NATO in the future could look at, which is that you have to prove essentially yourself within NATO and show always and always be ready to contribute to the alliance.
As a result of these contributions, what challenges do you feel would be a possible outcome in the future?
Well, I think so far, in terms of challenges, specifically for Germany, I see that, unfortunately, NATO, in the public opinion, has seen a large downgrade. I think less and less people fear that the German government, and this was shown in recent polls, should honor its truce to NATO, and NATO has a less and less favorable view amongst the German public so far in the Ukraine crisis, as well as the war in Afghanistan, have contributed to this decline in popularity. And I see that as the largest challenge of Germany, but also many other Western European countries face the same issue when it comes to the view of NATO amongst the populace. And this is, I think, a challenge that the Western European NATO members will be facing in the future, especially now that we see with the crisis in Ukraine and Afghanistan and the Middle East are still in unrest. We see that NATO is, I think, now more than ever challenged, and we need a military alliance of the way NATO provides it more than ever. And we see that we also definitely, without the help of the United States and Canada as our allies across the Atlantic, are not as strong. And I think this should show most Western European countries that NATO is still the way forward.
In terms of contributions made by Canada and the United States, do you feel that anything more or anything additional could be done?
Well, I think so far I've always seen the Canadian and the American contribution to NATO in a good light. I have rarely will you find a place for criticism there. I think that most importantly, and this goes back dating to the Cold War, the commitment of you, in particularly the United States, towards West Germany, which found itself bordering East Germany and being part of the Warsaw Pact, really in a situation of constant possible conflict. Really, the United States honored their truce, and so did Canada. And so, in general, I do believe that so far the United States and Canada have definitely contributed largely to European security and German security. And for improvements, I really think that this is down to small details. I think that just recently, if you talk to many Eastern European members, like let's say Poland and the Baltic states, you'll find that they there are becoming increasingly obviously concerned about Russia's expansion. They're feeling that they get less and less support from the United States and Canada. So I think that is something that we could work on, which is strengthening the alliance, especially with our new members, and especially in Eastern Europe, given that this is most likely a conflict zone that will only get worse in the future.
Leon, we discussed this a bit earlier. In terms of China, how do you see and how do you view the advances in China's military development?
Well, I personally see them as very concerning, and I think our allies in the region would agree. China has really been investing heavily into its military, and it was, I think, starting 2008 and in the 1990s that we really saw an expansion in China's military and heavily investing into new technology particularly and really outsourcing all the outdated equipment. And this, I think, should be a major concern to NATO, but I think to all Western powers in general, because not only is China economically strong, but should it get militarily superior, then we will face an expansionist China in the region, which will definitely not work towards our advantage. We've recently seen China seizing small pockets of islands in the Chinese Sea, and I think this should be of grave concern of future things to come. And that's why the way I see it is as a grave danger and a big threat to the future of international security.
Leon, if nothing additional is done by Canada or the U.S. in terms of taking advances in Chinese military development, what do you suspect would be the outcome?
Well, I think the most likely outcome is that we would simply fall behind, both in military development, but also in strategic position. I think we should not forget that we have strong allies in the region, such as Japan and South Korea. And looking at those countries, what you will see is that they themselves are now getting increasingly, I think, concerned over Chinese expansion. And if you look at, for example, Japan has just recently had a large public debate on its role of the military, and it looks like a large portion of the Japanese populace simply does not favor a stronger and more interventionist Japanese military, which could definitely be working against us should China choose to expand even further beyond its borders. So the way I see it is that it should be of grave concern to Canada and the United States in terms of strategical interests, as well as peacekeeping efforts and a overall, I think, balanced international community. It should really see it with concern what the Chinese expansion, in not just in terms of the military, but also economically. And I think, let's not forget that China is investing also heavily abroad into Africa, partially. I think this should all be really of concern. And the way I see it is that there's obviously a lot going on in the world with the Ukraine crisis and ISIS, but we should never forget that China does pose a great danger, I think, in the future to international security.
Leon, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Maybe you could be a mayor or a senator or a Supreme Court justice.
You ready?
But you
might not know that until you join student government or the debate team. And no matter what you want to do with your life, I guarantee that you'll need an education to do it.
Let's go.
What you make of your education will decide nothing less than the future of this country.